How are you doing, everybody? And welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel for a Royal News Flash with myself, Ron Swanson, and Paula M. Jumping into your daily Royal News headlines covering all the madness from across the seas as well with Meghan and Harry. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Paula, how's your day going? How's your morning been?
Buenos dias. Hello, beautiful people. How are you, Ron? Thank you. I'm doing just fine. And my day has been very busy. It kind of rained. I just want to say thanks to all of you guys who bought the raffle tickets. I have about 580 to go. Sorry, 480 to go. Yeah, so we're going to pass half the mark. I think I'm gonna have to get a royal title in order to sell them quicker. But well, I am so grateful. You know, this YouTuber, Leticia, she's going to join us hopefully this Friday. But okay. I don't know her very well, you know, but she's so nice. And she bought 21 tickets.
Oh, see, that's a lovely lady right there.
I know. Shout out to Leticia. Thanks so very much, you know. I was so touched, you know, because, that was so kind. And I want to thank all of you guys. Buenos dias, Claudia. What are you doing up? Claudia Sala. She's in the States. I am pretty sure it's about 4 o'clock in your neck of the woods.
Super early. Well, thank you for coming.
Claudia Salas. Buenos dias, amor. Buenos dias, everybody.
So one thing that me and the wonderful Paula were just talking about was the headline concerning jams. Okay, we're jumping into the jam this morning, people. Meghan's jam. Meghan Markle gives a sneak peek at the products from her new brand, America Riviera Orchard. Okay, the first look at Meghan's new business venture has arrived, and her close celeb pals are busy trying out products with her new lifestyle brand. We'll just call it Arrow for short. After spending a few days basking in the Florida sunshine for a charity polo match that promoted her husband Prince Harry's charity Sentible, it's clear that Meghan has been hard at work in the background getting ready for upcoming launches. Hard at work? Don't know. But here's some jam, right? Strawberry jam makes me happy. I love your jam. And it's tagged in the official account of American River Orchard, which gained hundreds of thousands of followers after it was first launched. I mean, we've spoken about our followers, right? I mean, we don't need to dive back into that one. I think we've covered that one pretty well. But apparently, this is not business as usual, okay? And if you pay close attention to these little numbers and the low batch orders, Paula's going to have a little chat with us now about what this means and how it's been reacted to by some of the large food industry standard labels. So, Paula, please do enlighten us on this.
Yes, hello, beautiful people. Well, I actually, you know a little bit about this, because I actually helped a friend of mine to do her jam. She's a lady, she passed away, but she's a lady who had polio, and she was a writer. So I helped her, you know, in her old age, I helped her create some labels for her jam, homemade jam, organic, 100%. Sure. And even then, even in Nicaragua, guys, and I'm saying Nicaragua because, you know, usually Nicaragua is considered, you know, maybe they can get away with the rules. Even then, in the label, she had to have, even though it was 100% organic, she had to have the save by date, you know, like when it was good till, all the ingredients, a lot of information, all the things, you know, the phone number, where to reach and everything like that in order to be approved. And what's in the jam, the marmalade. Sorry, she had marmalade. And then, and then what's interesting is that the UC Food Safety Organization in the United States has not approved it. And it had been bothering me. Why is she going like that? Because if you look at those things, she has 17 of 50, 10 of 50. There's another one where she sent it to, and the number is 10 of 50. Because she, her UC Food Safety has yet rejected and haven't approved it. If she can get away with that kind of label when it's for small businesses only. Okay. So for example, she should have, for small businesses like mom and pops kind of thing, you can get away without having a label if you're selling it to friends, if it doesn't exceed 500, according to the UC Food Safety Organization of the United States, if it doesn't exceed a 500 the sale cannot exceed 500 of the items a month. So if Meghan Markle is thinking of getting a becoming a multimillionaire from these jams, I don't know how she's going to go about it unless each jam is like $1 million or $100,000 limited edition. Yeah. Blech. But it's interesting because, and what is really funny, Ron, is that the influencers, I'm using the term very loosely.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Of course, of course.
It's Delfina Balquier, who is Nacho's wife. And then this other lady whose name is, let me tell you, her name is, where is it? Her name is, Delfina Balquier. And then we have Tracy Robbins, who only has 7,193 followers on Instagram. And they didn't post it to their main page. They posted to stories, which means it disappears after 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like they want to be involved, but just for a second.
Yeah. Like they want, they don't want to like do a big statement. And I wonder if it's because they didn't get paid. And funny enough, Oprah to date hasn't done it. Neither has Priyanka Chopra, you know, her buddies. Neither has Serena Williams, because I'm pretty sure Serena Williams, I mean, I think Serena Williams hasn't posted anything because I'm pretty sure Meghan gave her some of her jam.
Yeah. I mean, do you think?
No, I
think we're going to see a larger marketing strategy rolling out, or do you think this is it? Do you think she's just lost in a world where she thinks a few Instagram stories is going to launch it?
This is the worst possible. I mean, unless this woman is laundering money, I don't see it. I mean, this is the worst possible strategy.
Here's the thing, right? So what this could be is a follower marketing, right, where you're doing daily stories that aren't necessarily there to launch a product. They're just to push viewership as a pre-launch for the products. So rather than investing in marketing strategies, you send these out, it goes out into stories, and you get a daily boost on whatever platform you're redirecting, if that makes sense, which is what it could be, which is what it's most likely going to be, because I imagine we're going to see some further marketing. But you're right. I mean, how many small batches of jam are we going to see? What else is going to be small batch, and what other loopholes are going to be maintained? Because I imagine 50 jams. How many small batches of jams are we going to get? You see what I'm saying? Is it just going to be a farce of these low batches that are just larger batches broken up? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, this is a woman. This is a woman who has trademarked everything under the sun.
Okay.
And this is a woman who's grandiose about everything wrong. Like, she's going to be a multi-billionaire. She's not going to be a billionaire. She's going to be a multi-billionaire, you know, because everything she has to have, everything that's going to be bigger than everybody else. She's going to be the most special person than everybody else, right? Because that's how unique and special she is. And yet, the only thing that she can come up with after this huge fanfare of announcements and this and that is one jam, strawberry jam, that has been rejected by the UC Food Safety Organization.
It's a weird shade, the jam. Like, I'm not going to lie. It looks more like just crushed up strawberries in a jar. I'm being honest with you. It's got a light tone to it. But yeah, I mean, when we've got the larger food standards organizations that are saying it's a no-no because of lack of labeling, lack of information, hopefully, if what she's saying is true, and it is beautiful, low-batch, handmade, artisanal jam, I'm sure everything will work out fine. Let's hope she's not...
let's not forget her coffee debacle, that they found lead in the coffee. So she already, I mean, the couple of things that she's put her name to, the first thing she put her name to, it's mired in controversy, like with lead. Do you want, I mean, as you said yesterday, coffee's a pesticide, but I love my organic pesticide. There's no lead in this coffee, you know, but it's caffeine.
It's not the coffee, it's the caffeine.
I know, I'm just kidding people. But I'm just saying that the company got a letter from the Food Safety Organization, I believe, saying that there was lead in the coffee. So therefore, yeah. It was unsafe. And also, it's the human rights organizations, because the coffee products were being packaged or produced in a province in China, which is known for their human rights abuse. So, yeah.
And lead's an odd one, because lead seems to be popping up into a lot of things in America. There's just been a huge scandal that's broken with all of the schools, because they've got a deal with the Lunchables company, where the Lunchables, little lunches for kids with crackers and things like this, they had like 7 times the regulated or safe amount of lead in the crackers. It doesn't make any sense. Like, just stop putting lead and stuff. Like, it just makes sense. Just stop it. So let's continue on with this. So let's go on to Harry and Meghan's ex-aide. You want to jump on this one?
Which one?
The ex-Harry and Meghan's aide.
Oh, yes. I'm going to read it with you, because I just saw it right now.
Oh, okay.
I thought it's a breaking news. We can read it together. I mean, it's the headlines after all. Well, this is Samantha Cohen, and she used to be the fierce. First, she was the Queen's, I think she was one of the top aides for the Queen. And the Queen said, you know what, I'm going to give Meghan my best aide, like one of the people I trust the most and most experienced. So she had Samantha Cohen go over to her. Said, you know what, this is Samantha Cohen. She'd been so many years in the royal family working for the Queen, really, really high pressured, VIPs events. And right. One of my theories is the reason why Meghan hated these women is because these women could spot that she was a phony and knew nothing, you know, that she was a fake. And she can't stand women telling her what to do, because she's a know-it-all.
Okay.
You know, and I think this is where the clashing came, because, you know, she needed to put them in her mind. According to her, she needed to put the staff in her place, because them guiding her or giving her advice was seen by Meghan Markle as, oh, you don't tell me what to do. You know, but wow. Samantha Cohen, scroll the thing, Ron. What does it say? It says...
She claimed that she stayed in her role 3 times as long as she'd originally planned, because officials struggled to find a replacement for her. When a new private security was found, they quit during Harry and Meghan's tour in Africa in 2019, Ms. Cohen claimed. Above is the Harry picture.
Yeah, that's another thing. Their private secretary, you know, the lady was seen crying when they got out of the Fiji thing, I believe the market. She was in tears. This lady was in tears. She was pictured in tears, her secretary, you know.
Okay.
And she just quit mid-tour. She said, I'm not putting up with this crap. There's no way. There's not enough amount of money. There's not amount of reputation. You know, I much rather lose my reputation, because actually these people were, and I want people to get this, they were not afraid of Meghan Markle per se. They were afraid because Meghan Markle worked for a member of the royal family. And they were worried that if they didn't do what Meghan Markle wanted, the Buckingham Palace or the royal family would not give them a proper recommendation or, you know, a reference letter. Because at the end of the day, they know, these people know that they will look out for their own, even if it's as skanky as Meghan Markle.
It sounds almost like you're talking about a gang leader. You know?
A what?
And it almost sounds like you're talking about a gang leader in Meghan Markle, where if they don't all fall in line, she'll, you know, go higher up and make life hard for these workers, because she has a reputation for traumatizing people and staff or treating them horrendously. Whether it's people in her personal life or her work life, there's been multiple reports of teams and groups working with Meghan and it not working out too well, right?
Well, the thing is with Meghan Markle, is not that Meghan Markle herself had any power, but she knew that the royal family did. And she knew that the royal family, what happened is also, don't forget that Jason Kanoff had already sent emails regarding her bullying and nobody did anything about it. So that only emboldened Meghan Markle. And in her mind, it said, they're not going to do anything to me. So her behavior must have escalated when she felt that there were no consequences to her actions. Because nothing happened to her. Look at her. She lied under oath to a UK court. And what did the judge say? Oh, she misremembered. That was perjury. That's textbook perjury. Okay. When you lie, because Meghan Markle didn't even give a deposition. She sat down and she wrote it. So she had lawyers telling her what to do. She had time to go through this. You know, when you write things to submit to the court, you have time to go through things and you make sure that what you're writing is truth, yeah, you know? 100%. So she knew this is a woman who's still talking about an 11-year-old commercial, and she wouldn't remember months and months of conversations by emails to Jason Kunoff about her sister.
Yeah.
You know, so what Meghan had is not that she has any power. Her power lies on the fact that the royal family will protect her.
And because I guess
look what happened. They fired everybody. The royal family answer to Meghan Markle's alleged bullying. I use the word alleged. I don't know if Queenie's here. to Meghan Markle's alleged bullying was to basically cover it up and fire or let go of the troublesome employees who were complaining about her bullying and harassment at the workplace. They much rather change staff than address the problem, which was Meghan Markle. Thank you, Queenie.
Do you think that's why she's so terrified of losing the titles? Because if she loses the titles, she loses the hand that can swing from the royals.
No, I don't think that's it. I just think she loves the titles. And I think she's angry she can't call herself princess by right. Because in my Uvalde interview, when she, you're going to hear about that. When I did my, hopefully I'll post it this week. When I did my Uvalde interview, the lady said that the staff of the Uvalde school board said that she identified herself when they started getting emails and phone calls. It was on behalf of Princess of the United Kingdom, Duchess of Sussex. But she identifies not as a duchess, at least to these people, but as a princess of the United Kingdom, because she had Harry amend Archie's birth certificate and change the title to Princess of the United Kingdom. That was the amendment Harry did to the title. To the birth certificate. He first went to register the birth certificate and said, Rachel Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, right? And then when he went like 21 days later and he amended that and put her profession as Princess of the United Kingdom.
But do you not think that is Meghan's pressurizing for these things to happen? Can you not see Meghan standing behind Harry, pushing him and pushing him and pushing him to do these things?
I just want to answer something. Drew B, the royals did not do that, Paula. Okay, tell me how they address Meghan Markle, Jason Kunoff's email address, emails, because Jason Kunoff himself said in the emails, the couple of emails that we saw when he wrote to HR, that he had already previously written about Meghan Markle's behavior, and he was writing again because this was now with another employee, and he was concerned that this employee was going to follow the same fate as the previous one. Because she seemed to have her employees in her sights, you know, and that he was afraid that nothing would be done because, and he asked our principals are the royals, senior royals, our principals, do the rules apply to principals as well? Because nothing's been done. Because he had written 3 or 4 times about this in a span of 1 year. So keep in mind that this behavior was known for a year. So, Drew Barry, when you say that they didn't do that, clearly they did. And when they did have to address the bullying allegations, it's because Valentine Lowe went and interviewed the staff. The staff reached out to Valentine Lowe because they were terrified that Meghan Markle was going to do the Oprah interview and she was going to vilify them, which she did in the end. She said, oh, they spoke out because they want to trash me because I'm speaking my truth. So I beg to differ with you, okay? When you, all right, when you put things out like that, do say why. Don't say, oh, they didn't do that. They did. They didn't do that because they did this and this and that. I have given you, they did do a bullying investigation, which they refused to publish, and that's against the law. I already said that because in December 2023, the Bullying Act or something like that, I have to get the name correctly, received royal assent, where all companies are, it's mandatory to publish the findings of any sexual harassment or bullying or any form of aggressiveness in the workplace, just to safeguard the companies from future lawsuits. So,
well, there you go. I mean, Paula's always good for making sure things are on point and factual.
This is where Meghan Markle's powers come from, Ron.
I agree.
Is where her power comes from. Her superpower. You know what Meghan Markle's superpower is? the protection of the royal family. That she knows she's covered by the royal family.
You're right. You are right. Okay. Well, let's turn the attention to some other royals for a second.
Oh yes.
William. Prince William announced his first public engagement since Catherine's cancer diagnosis. Prince of Wales will visit Food Charity in Surrey and Youth Centre in West London on Thursday as the princess continues to recover at home. I don't know why we've got this on this page. Just scroll past here. Prince William today will announce his first public engagement since the news of his wife, the Princess of Wales, cancer diagnosis nearly 4 weeks ago. Excuse me. Excuse me. The Prince of Wales, who has spent the past 3.5 weeks with Kate and their children during the Easter holidays, will return to public work this Thursday. William, 41, will visit Surrey and West London to spotlight the community and environmental impact organizations in the area are having through their work. Positive stuff. You know, charities, local, this is what we want to see. This is what we like from the royals, you know. Nothing high profile, just local, charitable goodness. What do you guys think in the side chat? Let us know your questions. And what do you think? I mean, do you think it's too soon? Do you think maybe it's too soon? Or what do you think?
I love it, Ron. I love it. Because Prince William's, the first engagement he does, it has to do with food and charity. Something that Harry and Meghan are not about. Because Meghan Markle is not donating any money from that skanky jam she's making to charity. Not one penny's going to charity. All of it is going to her bank.
It's kind of ironic when you say it like that. On one hand, we have low batch $200 jam. On the other hand, we have someone supporting food charities who are both from the same place, shall we say, the royal circles. But yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
That's Prince William shading Meghan Markle. Throwing shade at Meghan Markle.
I think you could be right. Because, I mean, let's be honest with you. That's a very high-profile sort of snooty way of being passive-aggressive. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And you know, yes. But can you imagine? Because that's the first engagement he has right after Princess Catherine, after her diagnosis. So it's going to be a very high-profile, at least very high-profile, a photograph event.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it funny? So everybody's going to be comparing Prince William going to this food charity place to highlight the need for people helping out with food, and then Meghan Markle launching her Skanky Cook Show.
Yeah. Queen of Dark Dawn, you want to have your mind blown, right? Once this show's finished, Google search pink sauce TikTok documentary, and you think this is mad? Go and watch the pink sauce saga, because literally a woman in lockdown created a pink sauce in her kitchen and started mass distributing it herself with no labels, ingredients, FDA approval, nothing. It's a madness. You have to watch it. And in fact, anyone who wants their brain cells slightly damaged, I recommend you watch it. It's interesting stuff. It's funny. But I mean, I think now is a good time. I think spring, you know, it's new vibes, and I think it's good for him to step out and get back to things. Do you think that's a sign that he was maybe feeling under pressure to get back to public stuff? I don't think so. Do you think that's a positive sign on how Catherine's doing? Maybe.
I think that's a great sign. I think that well, if you look at what they said, and this is what it really bothered me about people, they said in their announcement that were very clear. They said that she went in for abdominal surgeries, and she had every right not to say what the abdomen, that's a private medical information. Yep. She went in for surgery. If I had been her, I wouldn't have said anything about where her surgery was. So I said, she went in for an operation. She's fine, but she needs to recover, you know. But they said she went in for abdominal operation. She needs to stay 2 weeks in the hospital, and she's going to return after Easter. And we will keep you posted and keep you updated if anything happens, which they did. Because if you look at it, she was at the hospital for about about 10 days, a little bit under 2 weeks. Then Easter hadn't even arrived, and people were, where's Kate?
This is big allegedly. I know all we're going off was tweets and official announcements from effectively the government or the royals, and I don't believe.
But no, no, no. I'm not saying you're wrong. Gave a timeline, Ron. They gave a timeline.
Right. I'm just throwing this out there because you're not wrong. Everything you're saying is completely factual. It's just I don't trust the people who put out.
No, but I'm not saying that it is factual. I'm telling you, we're not discussing it whether it's factual or not. We're saying what they announced and the timeline.
And then them announcing it is a fact, and the timeline is a fact. That's what I'm getting at.
They said that they would make announcements if there was any news that needed to be shared, which they did, because as Princess Catherine said in her statement when she, sitting on that bench, she said that they thought everything was okay until later on they discovered that they had been cancer had been present. So they did share update about her health. So if you look at it, they've been right on point.
Well, listen.
They did, Ron. Whether you like it or not, they did.
Well, listen. It's not that I don't like it. She could be 100% as we've been told. She could have been abducted by aliens. We wouldn't know. Am I right or am I wrong? We just wouldn't know because we're going by statement.
This is not okay. Again, this is not about her. Whether it's factual or not. We're going by what they said and whether they've stuck to the timeline and whether they have shared information when something new has come up. According to that statement they released, they have been on point.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying.
This is not an argument whether she's an alien from Mars and she had to go to Mars for treatment. That's not it.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we all got to remember we're going off public statements and we always kind of want to question the legitimacy of some things. That's all. No one needs to be upset. Okay.
I'm not upset at all.
Now, listen, let's jump into the next one because this one is something that we've got. Paula's red hot scoop is basically how I would describe this one. And that's the wrong button. It's this button. And that's the wrong page. It's this page. Okay. Look at her wee face. Look at her wee face. She is excited about this one. Meghan Markle's Netflix cookery show won't be filmed at her house with Prince Harry. Why is that, Paula? Allegedly, why is that, Paula?
I am so happy because you know what? You know that interview I did with the former domestic staff?
Yes, I do.
It really matches. And suddenly we see this. Guys, hopefully I will be sending this to Ron so he can change the domestic staff voice. 100%. Because everything this lady said it's confirmed to me with this new article, because it said, she's not going to film her cookery show in her mansion in Montecito. Selena Gomez did. Everybody's done except her. That Netflix is renting a mansion. Why would they spend money on that? Why not rent, pay for her or that? But first of all, Netflix is not renting the mansion. It is Archwell Productions. Netflix to this date has not issued an official statement regarding Meghan Markle's cook shows or any shows that they may have. The cameras that Harry had were not Netflix. They were from Archwell Productions, which are rented, or whatever cameras they are, which are following Harry around. Let me see if I have those pictures. Beautiful people, hello. I think I have those pictures here that I can send you.
It almost gives off like, we're planning on selling our homemade YouTube production to Netflix vibes with what you're saying.
Well, that's regular what Netflix does. Netflix does gave them a sign up bonus.
Okay.
And they got paid per streaming on Netflix, right? When they did the Harry and Meghan. If you look at the Invictus, the other one, Live to Serve or Live to Lead or something like that, So basically, the Harry and Meghan was because they were dishing lies and dirt on the royal family. And I don't believe the numbers are as high as they say because they refuse to make them public. They only say, they were the highest. You see with other shows, they're more than happy to show the numbers, the real numbers of how many people watched it. And what's more important, how many people return to watch the show over and over and over and over and over.
That's another, good point.
But this is very interesting because the staffer said to me that Megan is hardly ever there. That she, well, I'll give you a little thing, because she said that they rent, that their job was mostly to clean up after people came from, because the house is rented, the mansion is rented out a lot of the times for businesses
Harry,
and meetings.
Megan and Harry's home. Yeah, it's Megan and Harry's home you're talking about right now.
Yeah,
right?
The mansion.
Yeah.
And they never have any, there's no pictures of any children. There's no pictures of any family members. And she's seen Dory a lot, you know, and she saw Dory a lot filming yoga. So I wonder if we're going to see Doria doing a show about yoga.
I like, well, not even maybe a show, maybe an episode in Megan's series, you know, the gardening, cooking, how to make friends. Maybe it's how to do yoga.
I sent
yoga,
you a picture, you know, of Harry right there in your WhatsApp. I don't know if you want to put it up. But the thing is that, so Megan, it said that she's not going to be filming in her kitchen in their mansion. This is a woman who likes to brag about everything. I mean, that little minute of that clip that she posted was all bragging about her in that very faded cookie thing, you know, and then we're wearing a bald gown. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Harry looking into the camera.
Yeah, there's no way Netflix would allow Harry to hold the cameras like that. That's very expensive equipment.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, the crew looks after one end, the talent does the talent end, and everything's sort of kept separate. But I mean, it's not unheard of for people to look into directors' equipment, but certainly not.
No. I understand that. But for example, the wording has changed, Ron. The wording now that they plan to present two shows. Now, Megan is recording the show tomorrow, because how do we know that? Because she put it out there. Oh, I'm starting my show. Why? Because they're having a lot of pressure from Netflix. Their contract expires next year, okay, early next year. And they haven't produced anything. Whatever happened to Meet Me at the Lake? I mean, do any of you guys know that? Remember that big fanfare? Oh, and they put it out as Archwell bought the rights of Meet Me at the Lake. And then it was clarified by Netflix, not directly, but Netflix let it be known that it was them who bought the rights.
I've got a theory on that. Because what? Do you remember the big Writers Guild strike in America?
Yeah.
Where everything was stock production. I wonder if before the Writers Guild, her, you know, public image was a lot better than it is a few years on. And now that the Writers Guild strike is over and people are coming to production, a lot of the production people are looking at Megan and thinking, well, actually, her public image has changed a lot since we were original discussions. Let's try and back away from this. Do you think that that gap in time that maybe gave people clarity of thought has anything to do with why our projects seem to be always all over the place?
I don't know. But I mean, I don't think, everything seems to be a failure with these two, because they put in little work. They put in very little work, if none. They have no ideas, but if anybody tells them that's not a very good idea and that's not the way to go about it, they fire these people. That's it. Yeah. You're gone and done. And then when things don't work out, then they blame them. Oh, it's everybody else's fault. How can they not see? Like Meghan Markle with the Netflix, Harry and Meghan, she said that she wouldn't have done it that way. She was dissing the director. She blamed it on the director.
Yeah, again, it's so her MO, Paula. Like, it is history repeating itself again with her.
People are insane. People are insane getting into business with these two idiots.
Yeah, I mean, she points. Well, I think, do you think, though, that mindset has started to spread? Because we've seen...
It's contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we've seen our high-level new friends, potential friends with celebrities and A-listers, and how Oprah and everyone just started sort of backing up last year away from her. I mean, do you think that her image and her continual downfall, I mean, surely she's going to be running out of steam soon with regards to offers and all the rest of it.
She doesn't have any offers. She doesn't. This is why she's making her own products, because nobody's sending her any offers her way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I know what you mean with the products, but I just think, are we actually living in a world where Meghan Markle says she might be doing a show on Netflix, has just started producing it with the hopes that it's going to go on Netflix? I mean,
well,
is this the world?
That's what she does.
That's, I mean, is that the world we're living in right now? Is that the world
that's
we're living
in? That's what she does. Look what she did with Sussex Royal when they left. She issued huge statements with bullet points. We're going to get this, bam, bam, bam. We're VIPP, we're IPP, where you're going to get me this and you're going to get me that. And onto that topic, I want to talk about the next headline. You have to pull out the court case.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. I'm literally just lining it up.
But after this one, we're going to talk about something that's incredibly, I am surprised Harry's not in jail for this.
Oh, hang on a second. I've got...
Harry loses court case, that one, the appeal.
Yeah, I am. I'm going through ad blocker stuff. Just give me a second.
Because Harry, if anybody had done this, that's espionage, and that is incredibly bad. Donald Trump is on trial for this, you know? And Harry's not even a vice president. He shouldn't have had access to that information and what he did with it. No, Queenie, it's not allegedly. He did do this.
The only one I can bring up is this one. The other one I got hit with an ad blocker and I can't figure out how to get off.
Okay. Well, so you all know, I'm sure all of you know by now, that Harry lost the appeal with the court, right? He lost the appeal and the judge said the following, because you can't pull it up, right?
No, I can't pull it up. And I've also ruined this one by scrolling too far down and letting on
That's fine. Okay. What happens is that Harry lost the court case appeal, because when he lost it the first time, which is why he appealed, his lawyer or solicitor issued a statement as though this is a partial win. We partly win, but we're going to appeal this other bit, you know?
Okay.
And this is why the judge said this time, not so fast, buddy boy. I'll read what the judge said on this one here. Because it says, this is what the judge said. And for a judge to put this, Prince Harry loses hopeless bid to appeal high court ruling over personal security. Judge notes that the Duke of Sussex comprehensively lost and as his request to pay just 40% of the government's costs is also thrown out. He's been told to pay 90% of that. Prince Harry has lost a frankly hopeless bid to appeal his case against the Home Office after a high court judge noted that he had comprehensively lost. And the reason why the judge said that, and you know what the judge also said in his thing, he said, just because you think you're important, it doesn't make it true, basically, because Harry's saying that the reason why he's suing Ravick, not because Ravick made the wrong decision, is because Harry doesn't agree with it because he thinks he's that important. And we're watching Harry 100 times worse than Meghan Markle right now, because Harry cannot come to grips with the reality that he's no longer the spare. And I wonder why whether he wrote the book as a spare, because in his mind, he's still the spare. He doesn't realize that he's moved on from that place, right? And the judge says, just because you think you're important, this is what the judge translated it to, it doesn't make it so, buddy. And Ravick was within his rights to determine with all the info they have that you're not that important. So the judge said, order him instead to pay 90%, stating that his submissions relied upon a great deal of unsupported speculation. Delicious. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Delicious.
The ruling means that the Duke faces an estimated cost of more than £1 million, including his own legal fees. On the application to appeal, Mr. Justice Lane criticized the Duke's legal team for displaying precisely the same kind of errors he had identified in his original ruling, specifically by taking an inappropriate and formalistic approach to the process. And then he basically said that the case was basically Harry going on and on and on about, I am important. I am entitled to say, that's basically what it is. Now, what Harry doesn't understand, because he's an imbecile, and I'm not saying allegedly, this is my opinion. I've worked with these guys. I worked organizing trips for royal families, not the British one. And the reason why Ravick actually requested 28 days notice for him when he comes to the UK with a detailed agenda, it takes actually longer than that to secure, to organize the security, to make sure all the threats and stuff like that. And the reason why Harry will not know about this is because Buckingham Palace used to organize it for him. So this is why you see the royal agenda is prepared 6 months in advance or something like that, because they have to prepare. It takes that long to liaise with other security organizations, police, to make sure that everything is okay. They scout the place for security. It takes that long. But he wants to be able to come to the UK unannounced and have the police follow him around. He thinks that's the job, that the police has the job. No, they have to secure alternate escape routes in case something happened in the planned route. They have to secure and have put things. I mean, it's not easy. I used to do that. We had to have at least four other routes minimum in case anything happened in that route. If something broke down, there was a car accident.
Of course.
We have to move them here and that. So there's a lot of things that need to be prepared. Right?
A lot of moving parts, as we say.
So he doesn't want that. He wants, I'm going to come to the UK. I'm not going to tell you what my agenda, and you're going to follow me around, and you're going to make sure that he's putting in danger the bodyguards, the royal protection officers, and himself, because he's an idiot. So this is the judge. This is the part that I love. Frankly, hopeless. The suggestion that the court should not afford deference to Ravick's decision-making because the subject matter involved the protection of an individual was frankly hopeless, the judge said. There are no other compelling reasons for an appeal to be heard, he concluded. The fact that the subject matter concerns protection of life and safety, security of a person does not constitute such a reason. Otherwise, all the refugees would be claiming that, and this is what he says about that. Let me see. And then this is the part where he says that Harry is going on fishing expeditions, you know, because he wants Ravick to give him confidential information. And there's a very good reason why Ravick refused to do that. And that's the next topic, the topic that we're talking about. But I'll tell you what about. It says here, the judge also criticized the Duke's assertion that he had achieved partial success in his claim, pointing out that he had comprehensively lost, having failed on all of the pleaded grounds. And the judge is saying that because as soon as Harry lost and the first request for that, his lawyer went out and put misinformation, he put out lies saying that they had partially won. So the judge wanted to make sure that this time there were no misunderstandings, that this time there's no way they could spin this around. He lost.
Yeah.
And now get that headline because I am absolutely flabbergasted.
We'll get back to this. I just want to answer some madness in the side chat here, right? So you think I'm bullying Catherine because I'm not naive enough to go off tweets and press releases? Have you ever done a day's journalism in your life? Do you know how much absolute nonsense gets put out into the public domain? Am I saying that's what Catherine's information is? No. But until I see her somewhere, I'm not going to take what these people say at face value. And that's my choice because I live in a place where there is free speech. If you think I'm a sugar or defending Meghan, you're obviously new here, okay? Because Meghan, to me, is almost like a human science petri dish of future narcissism textbooks. I've said this multiple times. I'm not going to be bullied by the side chat to be made to think I cannot speak my mind on topics. And that's just the way it's going to be. If that's too much for some of you, I sincerely do not apologize. Okay. You not being offended, sadly, is not a human right. So we'll leave it there. If anyone thinks that I'm defending anyone, give me an explanation and not just a passing comment, and then we can get back to it. Now, Paula.
Post that headline, the one that you have hidden behind there.
Okay.
The one about the security, the confidential, that Harry had to apologize.
All right, hang on. Okay, yeah, got it. There we go.
This is a crime, and not a light one. Harry committed a crime here, sharing confidential government information with unauthorized third parties. That's espionage. That is what it really is. he's violated, because first of all, I don't think he was supposed to have this information. And what he did, and this is why we've seen Johnny Mercer is the same guy who's pushing for Invictus Games to come to Birmingham, which is broke. So he shared here, it says here, Prince Harry apologizes for breaking confidentiality rules in high court case. Court documents reveal Duke of Sussex emailed confidential information to Johnny Mercer, the veterans minister, because the reason why Harry did that is because he's trying to force Johnny Mercer, he's trying to talk to Johnny Mercer, whom he was having drinks at Dusseldorf last year at Invictus Games at his birthday, to provide full security for him and Meghan to come on May to the mass. And every time they're there, because he forwarded these confidential documents to Johnny Mercer, who's not entitled to have those documents. This is Ravik's documents, guys. This is like documents from the CIA. I don't know how to explain it anymore about this, about security procedures and all kinds of things. That is highly confidential. That's confidential.
I don't think I'm smart enough to realize how big a problem this is, if you see what I'm saying, because you know how we've been talking about the possibility of the king using the extradition or the visa or something that's going on with the legal system in America as a way of potentially getting Harry back? And this is, again, this is tinfoil hat, not defending Harry. I'm just having an opinion on the internet. Okay, relax. Do you think this could be foreshadowing of that? Do you think?
I don't know what it is, but Harry should have been, you know, Julian Assange for leaking the information, Donald Trump for taking confidential information, and he's a former president, and securely having it at Mar-a-Lago. People who leak this is, I really don't know how to, I know people don't get it, and Harry apologized. He shouldn't apologize, because if he sent an email to Johnny Mercer, who else has he sent those emails to?
That's a good point, yeah.
Prince Harry was forced to apologize after breaking confidentiality rules in his own high court case by sharing private information. But it's not private information that he shared. It's confidential information. Court documents reveal that the Duke of Sussex emailed the veterans minister confidential information concerning his security claim against the Home Office, because he wanted to have him on board and have him arrange security for Meghan and him when they come. This is why he issued a statement saying that he was satisfied with the security arrangements made for May, because Johnny Mercer is the one organizing it for him. Because that means that Harry's satisfied, because he wants to have a convoy of at least 10 cars follow him around. The Duke has long shared a close bond with Mr. Mercer, with both having served in Afghanistan. So what? But they didn't serve in the same area. Mr. Mercer is a vocal supporter of the Invictus Games, because he wants to bring Invictus and wants to give Harry £26 million, like Queenie said on the side chat. Okay? And Birmingham is broke. Birmingham is absolutely mired in poverty, Ron, and broke. And they want to give this man £26 million, okay, to bring useless games so he can record them for Netflix and make even more money, okay? And then he says, Mr. Mercer is a vocal supporter of the Invictus Games and is spearheading the government's attempt to host a 2027 event in Birmingham. And here is where you're right, because this is with the backing of the government, because he is the Minister of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Justice Lane revealed that the Duke's indiscretions in a costs ruling handed down on Monday concerning his failed application for a judicial review. He said in November 2023, the claimant breached the terms of the confidentiality ring order by emailing certain information to a partner of Shillings who was not within the confidentiality ring, and to the Honorable Johnny Mercer MP. The breach was almost immediately detected by the Duke's own barrister. So, Harry is going behind the lawyer's back, his own lawyer's back, emailing. And I hate it that they said confidential for his case. This is confidential information to everybody, because apparently he emailed the procedures of Ravik and stuff like that, because he was bitching and complaining how they're not giving it to me, and this is what they do. So he's emailing confidential information of security procedures to a third party who's not authorized to know that. And this is the one that we know.
Yeah, it all sounds a bit massively corrupt, Paula, is what it sounds, okay? His actions are obviously completely illegal, but it's now going to be how this plays out, because we're sort of sadly living in a royal legal case effectively right now over here that seems to be getting covered up, pushed to the side. And what do you think we're going to see next?
Nothing. Just like Meghan Markle. Yeah, they just said, oh, the Duchess misremembered. This is massive, because not only is he committing this is a crime. This is leaking confidential. He's putting at risk other VIPs, because that's another thing that the judge said, that the reason why Ravik refused to give him the information he wanted is because these are procedures, and that could put at risk other VIPs if that information is leaked, because then they put up, you know, I had just given you a little bit of a taste of what I did when I had royals come to visit organizing things. One of the things that we did is coordinate with security, because there's always like a government security, a branch. I dealt with a branch inside the police that dealt specially with VIPs, royals, and stuff like that, right? But my bag was on the royal side. So it was organizing. I would, even for a vacation that nobody knew about, because these royals go on vacations, okay? There's still massive security arrangements. And we would know the embassies were you know, if they were coming around that area, I would know. We would be informed. The ambassador would be informed, even though it was vacations. And then we talk to the VIP police in the country and other police. You get in touch with the bodyguards that are coming, if they have any. I mean, it is a massive thing. So, but I'm giving you a little bit of information. I'm not giving you all of it, but Harry is disclosing information to third parties, another parliament. And somebody said this, Queenie, a parliamentary investigation is needed ASAP into Mercer and Harry. But not only Mercer and Harry, Harry has to be investigated to see if he has leaked that information to somebody else. Because I am sure he's sharing that information with Oprah and Tyler Perry and everybody, complaining about how can they not do that. Look, these are the procedures, because he's much of a moron.
But do you think he feels the same way that Meghan does with, oh, daddy will save me, the royal hand will sweep away the problem?
Absolutely. Harry feels he can do and say as he pleases. And we're seeing a major tantrum worldwide. This man is throwing a major tantrum worldwide using the legal system.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a good way of putting it. A little hissy fit from Harry.
But we're looking at a grown-ass man who can't come to grips with the fact that he's not that important. He's not that relevant. Because one of the things that he said to the judge is, you know, this could be the first time that, you know, set legal precedent, which is actually what the judge doesn't want to do. Because, you see, the judge can't tell Ravik how to do their job. That's Ravik's bag.
You're saying, you know how you're saying he's not relevant and all the rest of it? It's like he did that to himself, though. He had all the relevancy in the world and could have been a very different individual than he is now, but chose to go at the dark side, unfortunately. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. He got corrupted by a Sith Lord who pulled him away from his family to the dark side.
Or was he always like this? Because we're watching this kind of behavior, Ron, doesn't happen overnight. Meghan didn't bring this behavior, Ron. You know, this
Here's the thing. I think we all agree on where they're at and headed. And we've all got sort of different views on how they all got there, if you see what I mean. I think for me, I think where I'm at, if you put a gun to my head and say, how does the story begin with Meghan? I think she was the one that lured him in, and she was the one that pulled him away. I've not given a lot of thought to what we were sort of talking about last week, which was, is this the real Harry we're seeing now? And has it been a false projection of Harry we've had up until now? I think that is very interesting and completely sort of changes some of my thought process, to be perfectly honest. All of my opinions are a fluid, liquid mindset. Because, I mean, remember where I was at last year, Harry the victim. Harry, but then there was Harry the victim, and then there was also Harry's the genius.
Oh, I remember that very well.
Remember that. Also, as well, somebody said earlier, Ron's the tinfoil hat version of the stories. That is a great way of putting it. So if some of my things come over like I am defending anyone or I'm putting over things that sound a bit nuts, that's kind of where my brain goes. I find there's comfort sometimes in conspiracy when we can talk about things that are a little bit off the wall. But I know some of you get a little bit triggered by that, but that's just life.
You know, it's so funny, Ron. I posted about an hour ago.
Yeah.
On my community page on YouTube about Meghan Markle failing to have UC safety, food safety, to meet food safety standard. And now it's all over X with people. But it's so funny. No, but it's incredible because it's like, you know, people are questioning that. Where is the food safety thing for that empire that she's going to build? This is the thing that she doesn't do things right. The first thing before you launch everything is that you have secured all the permits and you have everything ready. Even if you want to leak one, if you want to release one product at the time, but that product is locked down, ready to go.
Yeah, Queenie, we actually did answer your question yesterday. That's exactly where that new thought process came from. I'll just remind everybody the question. You think the lack of action from the palace is due to them knowing this is the real Harry and they don't know how to control him because he's away from the folly, if you see what I'm saying. So that's a good point. I mean, maybe we have been fed a false narrative of Harry up until now and we're seeing the real him. I don't know. I'm not friends with any of them. I'm just a guy on the internet with an opinion. What do you think, Paula? Maybe I asked you yesterday. I hate making you repeat yourself, but what do you think? Do you think Harry has always been this guy, or has he changed? And or do you think we're seeing the real Harry?
I've always said that the Palace, Buckingham Palace, did a great job of selling an image of Harry. Because I've always, you know, and I've always came under criticism whenever because I've always said that Harry's, I'm not changing on this. If anybody can prove me and say, no, actually he's doing this and that, but he's not. He's exploiting Sentevale to film a Netflix show to make himself look good. Not because he really cares about that. We know the story of Lee Ketzel, the little girl that which he founded Sentevale. You know, and now the little girl has given interviews that Harry and Sentevale dropped her. They have never gone back to see her. They only gave her 22 pounds like 6 or 7 years later in 2009. You know, they gave her 22 pounds and then they forgot about it. And she's saying, and the grandmother's worried because she does have AIDS now and she has never received any medication, or like Harry said, he was going to ensure that she got everything she needed growing up. This is when people live in less than 82 cents a day, you know, and she says that she goes to bed hungry when the neighbor doesn't have enough porridge to give her and they sleep on the floor. She has no education. And this is the little girl whose image is being exploited by Sentevale, because Sentevale, Harry founded Sentevale because of this little girl, Lee Ketzel. You know, and they forgot about her. And so whenever you come and give me a hard time about my actual school that I fund and the fact that I'm having a raffle and I want to do this, you know, and you know what's great? This is the power of community. We're very small people, but Pidina, who also has a charity, she's coming here, you know, with thanks to American Airlines, and they're not paying me, but I just want to say thank you because they're giving the tickets for Pidina to come with 9 kids to help build the school so she can teach them that there's people worse off than they are, you know, because at least they have cell phones and they get to travel and they're going to see real poverty. You know, but this is why I say Harry gets millions of dollars for exploiting, in my very humble opinion, Sentevale. And that's his useful tool because he has nothing left. And I actually did a live. Was it a live that I did yesterday or something like that? That I was talking that why didn't he grab his camera, take off on a commercial flight and go to Africa undercover and find out the truth about African parks? That would be a kick-ass show I would watch. Expose it.
Yeah, I agree.
If I had the money, I would do it. If I had the money, you'd see me on a plane and I would go do that. Yeah. I would go talk to Lee Ketzel. I've been trying to reach her. I don't know how to reach her because, of course, she doesn't have a cell phone. She's very poor. She's in the mountains of Congo or whatever they have, Lesotho, you know. But I would go find her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, I got another banger here. Okay, I don't know if you know how podcasts work, right? But there are so many sugar spreading conspiracy theories. Me saying none of us have seen Catherine isn't a conspiracy theory, right? Check your facts. That's a fact. And it triggers me when you do it wrong. If you don't want them to take it, but don't come on here spread. I'm sorry. Don't come on here spreading your. This is my show. Like, what are you talking about? I'm just, we're having conversation. My biggest fear is being stuck in an echo chamber, people. If you're a fan of echo chambers, we're not going to get on. I like to cover things from all angles. It's good to press people. It's good to further explain and expand your mind and look at things even momentarily from another perspective. Otherwise,
you know what that's called, Ron? Let me. I'm a 55-year-old woman. I'm really 56 okay. years. Let me tell you what that's called, Ron. Right. Are you sitting down?
I am.
Are you really? Hold on to the desk, please.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's called having a conversation.
No.
It's a new revolutionary term coined back in the 1900s by.
I'm just saying. Also, you don't have to defend Ron. I'm okay with it. People are allowed to.
No. I get it. But, you know, I hate it when people are morons. You know, the art of debating and talking. We're talking about information out in the public domain, and you know, people. I know what I did. I did my life with Matt the Angry Butnik. Yeah. He's actually a former Royal Marine who's done 5 tours for the Queen and stuff like that. And he was saying that his channel gets a lot of flack because he will pick an article and. Very funnily dissected.
It's not even that. It's if they think that I'm not stupid enough to realize this is basically propaganda-based social engineering in the side chat, it's fine. None of it triggers me. I just want to explain to the people that see this that I'm not going to stand for it because there's no explanations. It's just nonsense. And if you don't like it, there's a door behind you. You know.
No, but it's so funny, Matt. It's so funny, Ron, because Matt said, because he's a British bloke, but he's living in California. He's actually an engineer. He's incredibly smart. Yeah. And then he's saying, when I moved here, when I became a citizen, I am registered a Democrat. He goes, I was a left-wing Democrat, hardcore monarchist. But now with a bunch of idiots and what's happening, I've become an anti-monarchist and I'm leaning and now I'm considered a right-wing man, you know?
I should have prefixed this. I'm in no way saying should Catherine come outside because she's going through chemo. That's not what I'm saying. Because if that's the opinion, if that's what you've taken from what I'm saying, I can see why you're triggered. That's not what I'm meaning. I'm just saying the facts are none of us have seen her.
You want to see something disgusting, Ron? I'm going to do a video about this. I'm going to do a video about this because this is disgusting. And I think the sugars are insane.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
This, I keep getting this email. Guys, I kid you not. I get. Yeah. They even made Meghan Markle taller than Catherine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get everyone.
That you're sending me that Catherine wishes to be like Meghan, and I'm like, and I actually did reply to the sugar. I said, get your facts right. Catherine's taller than Meghan, you know. Yeah. And no, I mean it's in your head because they think that Meghan elevated Catherine. Catherine is emulating Meghan.
Yeah. No. But. Again,
Disco 1000. Oh my God, Paula, WTF.
I'm not saying, Catherine, come outside, let's get a picture. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the facts are, I've learned to take things in official response point of view without further ability to follow up with a pinch of salt. That's really all I'm saying. That's fine. And she's entitled to her privacy. That's what I'm saying. Everyone relax, okay? This isn't the first time I'm going to be talking about this, and it certainly isn't going to be the last time. So just relax, okay? Relax.
So what do you think about Santevale, Ron? What do you think about that?
I don't know. It's a huge mess that I think, again, it's just going to be more corrupt cover-ups and more, like, denial and hoping everyone's going to forget. You know, what do you guys think? Stick it in the side chat. Make sure you're, you know, liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. And
what do you think with what you know? We know that Liquezzo, the little girl, has come out twice and said that Santevale is not helping her. We know that Santevale has been mired in scandals in regards to financial. We know that in 2010, I believe, three or four organizations had to step in and help Santevale because Harry failed to provide financial funds for the orphanage. So if other organizations had stepped in, the orphans would have, the whole thing would have gone. We know because it has been well documented that Santevale, the directors, were using the funds because Harry raised millions of funds and the funds had been managed by
Clarence. Do you know what? Husband. It actually sounds like we've got multiple cases of where's the money, why are the people still suffering, circulating around Harry. I think if Harry was Bill Gates, we'd be looking at the world's biggest charitable fraudulent situation in the world. But because it's the son of the king, I think it's just going to be swept away. I mean, I really do. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, Paula. Did you see what I'm saying? Especially when it's millions of dollars in funds and the royals. I think if it was anyone else in the world, we would be looking at a huge global fraud case that would make everyone sit on the edge of their seats and pay attention. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, we're talking about people have done their own investigations and went to their office buildings to find them empty that are meant to be where they're running their own charity from with their single 10 or 11 million donation that has vanished. So what, I mean, do you not think that it, again, well, you do think that it's a status that's protecting him. And I think that if it wasn't for that, we would be seeing a massive, massive news coverage of this. People love the story of the rich guy ripping off the poor guy who gets caught. That sells papers. You know what I'm saying? So there's a bigger story. It's the same as everything. There's a bigger story here, Paula, that you and I will never
know. What it is. Okay, I'm going to say something that's very controversial.
Okay,
this is not me hating on Charles, by the way.
Okay, just be careful. It's a landmine out there. It's a minefield out there today, Paula. It's a minefield.
No, let's not forget that Clarence House, or King Charles, well, the then Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, organized African Parks dinner at Kensington Palace on November 13th, 2018, where Harry and Meghan were in attendance at Kensington, a day before Charles' 70th birthday, organized by Charles, because Charles actually is the one who got Harry involved in the African Parks, and he was the one who recommended Harry to be put as the board members. This is why they had that dinner that was supposed to remain secret, but somebody took pictures and leaked it, you know, as it happens, you know. So it was the secret dinner at Kensington Palace held on the day before Charles. So Harry has gotten involved with certain things. Because, of course, not because African Parks wanted him there, but because Charles wanted him there. Him being the president of the Queen's Commonwealth Trust, I repeat, this Queen's Commonwealth Trust was set up on April 2018, 1 month prior to Harry marrying Meghan, with the whole purpose of putting Harry as president and Meghan as vice president of the Queen's Commonwealth Trust, which is a money-making
thing. Like, that was mad.
I believe that Harry's being covered, and Clarence House used to manage the funds for Centebale when all the scandals were going on. Harry would raise the millions, and Clarence House, this is why the Queen had Harry. I don't know if you know this. The Queen, when the scandal with Centebale exploded, the Queen had Harry, and she had him come to the palace and said, "What the hell's going on here?" And then Charles interfered and said, "No, we're handling the finances." But the Queen gave him a dress down because it was a huge scandal. And the Queen was worried that it was part of the African country, part of the Commonwealth, you know, and it involved Commonwealth nations, which are really poor. So she really loved that when he started the Lesotho thing and the Centebale. But then when the scandals with money started and they were being very public, she gave him a dressing down. She said, "What are you doing? What's going on here? This involves the Commonwealth. You better, the Commonwealth, beautiful people," was something the Queen, that was the Queen's life's work.
Do you think the genuine fear of real repercussion is now gone from the monarchy now the Queen has passed? Do you think people just see Charles as a soft touch within the ranks?
You know what it is, Ron? I think that Charles has so many scandals. You know, he's got so many scandals, and people don't change. And that's another thing I was having with Matt. He goes, "People change." And I said, "No, they don't, because we're talking about Biden." And he goes, "Well, Biden used to be hardcore, you know, like if you do drugs, you're going to jail. You don't need a trial." And now in 2020, he changed all of that. And then I said to him, "Yeah, but I firmly believe Joe Biden has dementia. So he doesn't know what he stood for." Like, for
allegedly.
You know what I mean? So we were talking about that because people don't change. Yeah. And Charles has too many scandals. He said too many lies. He's too manipulative. You know, when he promised in 2005, when he was lobbying to marry Camilla, right? He was caught in 2004 in the, with the accounts. You know, when they every year they publish the accounts. Beautiful people, you can go Google it. I'm not talking out of my butt. In 2004, the royal family, the monarchy, published the accounts. And it was found out that Charles had been giving Camilla for quite a few years as his mistress about £180,000 in 2004. That's a yearly allowance for her and her wardrobe and stuff like that. Damn. So Parliament said, you can't do that. Even if it comes from the Duchy of Cornwall, you can't do that because it's still like kind of like public money, you know, kind of thing. The Duchy of Cornwall is very funny that way. So, and he was told, you have to stop this. You can't, if you want to give her money, it has to come out of your pocket, not out of that.
That's so in pocket change for the king. So the side chat is on fire today, Paul. There's some funny ones. But yeah, Chris is saying that's pocket change for the king. Well, it's pocket change for
But it's pocket change that he didn't want to pony up. He didn't want to pony up. He wanted listen, these people are, look at Harry, taking free rides, free planes, everything, freebies, going to Vegas. They love getting freebies because billionaires and millionaires they don't like to part with their money. I have a friend, guys, and I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say the person's name. No. She's a millionaire in her own right, and she's married to this billionaire who owns a bank. I have asked her to help for the school. And they see that as poor taste.
Yeah.
As, you know, so what I do, even though I've known her all my life from high school, I said, you know what? You should come and help with the school. If you're not going to give money, come and help put the work in, you know, bring so-and-so to the school so you can, you know, you can teach him English or you can teach him how to cook because you do amazing cooking. They would still won't do it because billionaires and millionaires don't like parting with their, even if it's a penny, they will
find it. It's not easy. You know, it's weird. There's been a lot of stuff on YouTube where people do experiments in rich areas and they pretend to be homeless, asking for money, go to a poor area and all that. And, you weed out the ones that are clearly fake. But the majority of the time, it is those with nothing who have something to give. And those with everything seem to treat it differently. But I just want to say, when it comes to the side chat, everyone is allowed to have an opinion. Don't be banning people because they think I'm a bully or anything like that.
Or I'm an idiot. Or I'm allowed.
Yeah, anything like that. It's not weird. And it's up to you guys as adults not to be triggered in the side chat by people who have a different opinion from you. It is not an echo chamber. We're all here. We're all allowed to have a difference of an opinion. And regardless of what Twitter says, grown-ups can have a difference of an opinion and still get on, right? Believe it or not. It's mad.
You know what? Those sugars that come here, count your lucky stars. Why don't you go and leave a comment in Meghan Markle's Instagram account? Oh, you can't. Yeah. Or why don't you leave an Instagram comment on Archwell's Instagram account? You can't because they don't have any. They don't put themselves out there like we are putting ourselves out there, even if we're called an idiot.
Yeah, it's part of my job to take criticism, but it's more important for me to know the ability to put something out there from a place that an echo chamber wouldn't see it in case we miss out on facts or anything like that. It's good to have a diverse amount of opinion. And if, you know, everyone thought the same, it would be a boring, it would be a boring podcast, you know, just sitting here every week, not, you know, trying to think or expand or, you know, me ranting at people that are criticizing me for stupid stuff or whatever. It's how it is. And it's part of the job, and I thrive and love it.
On a lighthearted note, Ron, I was shocked. Poor Thomas Markle Jr., how he's been trashed by the news because of that video he did. I would have done the different delivery. I would have done something funnier or, you know, differently the way I would have delivered. I probably would have walked with a moon bump and would have dropped it.
This is it. We were saying this beforehand. People have been saying this all week. Have you seen what's happened to Thomas Markle? What's been going on? No, I'm going to go and find out now, and then we can talk about it. But I imagine, like, again, for me, sitting and pulling something apart out of context, or, you know, trying to decipher something that's meant to be comedy. From what I heard, it was a comedy skit on horribly wrong.
Just pulling the moon bump and try to give birth online. That's it. You know, it's hard to give birth online to a moon bump, you know. So if I had been Thomas Markle Jr., what I would have done, I would have paraded with my moon bump, put on like that purple coat like Meghan Markle had, dropped the moon bump and said, oops, I did it again. You know, something like
that. Just to be clear, I don't know. And I understand, like, I've known Tom. So I know that this is a comedy skit and there's a good chance if everyone's saying this, that, and the next thing, it's gone wrong.
Like no, his no, wrong. Artistic wrong. Representation. This is really bad. Talk TV today. I saw it today with Kinsey Schofield. Kinsey didn't say ban him, but the woman on Talk TV was asking YouTube to cancel his channel. And they were outraged. Listen, and they were outraged that he was getting paid for content. Okay, wait a minute. What are you doing there, woman? I felt like saying, aren't you getting paid for content? Aren't you? Aren't Harry and Meghan Markle getting paid for content? Or do you think they're doing it for free? And they're exploiting the royal family's name.
Yeah, Tom pushes it to the edge. I freaking love him. Well, I mean, that's the thing. You've got to understand, we live in a world where when you put yourself out there on the internet, you are subjected to everyone's opinion, okay?
And oh, that's a good one.
I've not seen...
You should look him on a live with black wigs because Tom wore a black wig too.
Again, I'm not going to comment on anything. I would put money on it that he's done a comedy skit that has offended someone or he delivered poorly or whatever. But at the end of the day, when you weigh up how many good laughs you've had against how many bad laughs you've had with Thomas Markle, I think it's all right if he misses the target on something. But again, I don't know. I've not watched it. Maybe it's horrendous.
I was shocked. I was shocked that on Talk TV, which is a highly viewed thing with Kinsey Schofield, the woman said, we should talk. Where are the YouTube officials? They should take the channel down. How can he be making money of laughing? And Kinsey actually tried to make fun of it and said, you know what? Well, you know, he's entitled. He's making money. Why not? You know, but...
Well, I mean, I mean, again, I'm just saying what I think it is in my head before I see it. I don't know what anything... I've not watched it, anything like that. But again,
I'll send you the clip.
I imagine they have found something that the mainstream media can use as ammunition to bolster the narrative of poor Meghan, poor Meghan. That's what it's coming across as more to me.
No, but that's censorship of the First Amendment, isn't it? Talk TV is actually advocating for a YouTuber to be canceled because she doesn't agree with his sense of humor.
Yeah, well, I mean, welcome to 2024. Twitter culture is rife. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm not down with it, you know, even if I don't find it funny.
Again, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And if opinions are in higher places, that's when people tend to, you know,
but let's not forget that people in higher places have a higher platform and sometimes they get hurt. Look what happened to Piers Morgan. He was fired. Look at Sharon Osbourne. She was canceled on literally online. People are losing their jobs and their platforms. Look at Megan Smalley.
All I'm saying is my money is on Tom, still a good guy. Probably done something that didn't land very well on a comedic value, and now he's taking a spanking online for it. That's where my mind, and he's just got a high enough profile that the media is going, all right, let's get some freaking headlines, baby. That's the way it goes when you're in the spotlight, Tom.
But you know what they did? They're very sneaky too, Ron. They really put it in a very unflattering way. They zoomed in to make it look even worse.
Yeah, you've got to remember as well how you can be clipped and taken out of context, bro. So again, I'm still 100% a Thomas Markle fan, and my money is on it in just a very... it was one of those things that if he had a roommate and his roommate was there when he was filming it, maybe things would have been different, if you see what I'm saying. But I don't think... But I think he's got a high enough... You got to remember that. He's got a high enough profile, and he's tied to people with massive profiles that if they can jump on it and use it as a weapon against him to further the Markle, Meghan Markle narrative, they will do, okay? It's called the great circle of life and clout on the internet.
Yeah, he should get in touch with you again because you would have produced a better thing for sure, you know?
Well, this is the thing. He's always been known for his comedy skits and stuff like that. He's literally got a character he plays with a big mustache. Do you know what I'm saying?
With that chicken too, remember?
The chicken. So yeah, it is what it is. But again, if we were talking about some random YouTuber, we'd probably discuss it further. It's his sister, okay?
The sister has been trashing them, not in a comedic kind of way,
exactly,
but in a very dark kind of way that has been trashing.
And also, let's not forget his other sister, who his sister is dragging through the mud. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot, and let's not forget his dad. You see, there's a lot of things that if I was Tom would have built up. And the fact that they've manifested in comedy sketches is testament to him, because I know for a lot of people who maybe can't control themselves as well as Tom, they would have manifested in other ways. So personally, comedy as an outlet is a lot better than some of the ways that people across the pond choose to vent, and we'll just leave it at that. Why don't we all slap a like on this stream and get Sherry McSharing it, because we're done for the day and we'll be back. Okay, we'll be back 12:30 every single day. If the live isn't posted, it's still happening. Just so you know, I'm going to go and post them for the rest of the week, because I think a lot of people freak out when all the lives aren't posted on a Monday. So on a Monday, I will post them all from now on, because I think that works better for everybody. Whether you agree or disagree with me, thank you for being here. I hope you've had a wonderful day. I hope you continue to have a wonderful day, because whether you agree with me or not, I wish you no harm and I wish you well and prosperity. Okay. Not as much as the other people who agree with me, but still, I wish you goodness and prosperity. Paula, same to you.
Buy a raffle ticket. Buy a raffle ticket, please.
Yes. Buy that. Okay. Yeah, I will listen to your voice note. We will be getting up to date with things that have been missed on the WhatsApp. So don't worry about that. And thank you very much.
Did you get any messages today to the WhatsApp thing?
We got a couple, but they were freaking essays, right? They were like this size. When you send me a question, if I have to click something that says read more, okay, there's a good chance I'm not going to get to that question. Imagine you're sending a question to like a 7 or 8 year old. Okay, keep it in that sort of context. Do you see what I'm saying? Keep it, because I'll add, you know, a little bit extra on and things like that. Keep it, get it, make it sound a bit more that you haven't sent it, as if you're talking to a 7-year-old. But if you can keep it short so that we can get through as many as we can, we can. No, listen, SEG, it's not a case of let Ron talk. Ron has been doing a lot of reading in the side chat. I get sucked into the side chat, and thank God for Paula's ability to be such a good presenter and host. But I do understand what you're saying, but trust me, do not worry. Everything is good. You're all beautiful. We're fabulous. We'll see you in the next one. And Paula, thank you always for being here. Peace.